The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has urged all Iranians to be prepared to continue the fight against arrogant powers. Speaking to a group of Iranian students, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said the fight against global arrogance cannot be called off. The leader stressed if there is no fight against arrogance, then the people won't be true followers of the Quran. Ayatollah Khamenei made the comments in response to a question by a student who asked if the battle against arrogant powers will stop after a nuclear deal between Iran and the P5+1. The leader also slammed the U.S. as the perfect example of arrogance. Meanwhile, Ayatollah Khamenei spoke of the situation in Yemen. He strongly criticized the U.N. for its silence towards Saudi Arabia's unrelenting war on the impoverished country. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei said the Security Council has issued only one resolution on Yemen, in which it condemned those who are under the Saudi bombardment, and not Riyadh, which bombs the Yemenis. Ayatollah Khamenei described it as one of the most disgraceful resolutions. The leader added that Riyadh has been pounding Yemen for 100 days to take revenge against Iran over the country's spiritual influence across the region. The leader said the U.S. officials and the, quote, backward Arab governments admit to Iran's wide spiritual presence in the region in their private talks. To discuss this further, let's go to Denver and talk to Yoram Abdullah Wheeler, journalist and political commentator. Welcome, sir, to the program. Mr. Wheeler, what is the leader telling us when he says we must prepare to continue the struggle against arrogant powers?
First, please allow me to extend my deepest condolences to the family of my dear colleague, Hamid Golpira, who passed away last Tuesday. I will miss him greatly.
Same to you, sir.
Ayatollah Khamenei has been very candid regarding the U.S. being the epitome of arrogance, and at the same time pointing out that the Iranian nation wants to establish a friendly and kind relationship with all human beings and all nations. There is no arrogance here on the part of Iran. Rather, Iran, being an Islamic republic, has a Quranic mandate to fight against arrogance, and this is where Iran is compelled to fight against the global arrogance of the sole superpower. What exactly is this U.S. arrogance, and where does it come from? Americans seem to be convinced that all other nations would be better off if and only if they would implement America's way of life. This is what historian Walter Hickson refers to as myth of America identity. The arrogance seems to stem from long-held beliefs of American exceptionalism and an unshakable self-righteousness. For example, going back to the 50s, John Foster Dulles, Secretary of State under President Eisenhower, viewed the U.S. as engaged in a moral struggle between good and evil. Of course, at that time, communism was the culprit, and Dulles opposed diplomacy with the former Soviet Union, much in the same way that today's Republicans oppose diplomacy with Iran. Now, contrast U.S. arrogance with Iran's cooperation. Iran has never pulled out of the NPT, unlike North Korea, and has cooperated with the IAEA concerning the so-called outstanding questions over possible military dimensions to Iran's nuclear program. Iran voluntarily suspended uranium enrichment from 2003 to 2005 as a confidence-building measure, only to have a series of UN Security Council resolutions imposed upon the Islamic Republic. The lesson to the Iranian leadership was clear. The U.S. and the West will not respond in kind to unilateral steps taken to build trust. Now, consider the hypocrisy of the U.S. In contrast to Iran, Pakistan, India, and the Israeli entity all have obtained nuclear weapons, refused to join the NPT, and yet still enjoy economic and political support from the United States. So one can see clearly that Iran is being targeted as an exception. If Iran were truly intending to obtain nuclear weapons, it would not have remained engaged with negotiations with the U.S. and the West as it has done over the past decades. In the broader context of why Iran has insisted on its rights under the NPT has been completely lost in the orchestrated media hype. First, Iran's nuclear program predates the victory of the Islamic Revolution in 1979. At that time, the United States encouraged the Shah to pursue nuclear technology and signed an agreement to that effect. Second, with an oil industry denied investment by U.S.-led sanctions, Iran has little choice but to turn to nuclear energy for its growing electrical needs. And finally, even if sanctions were to be lifted, it would not be rational to deplete oil and gas reserves to supply the country's electrical needs. Nuclear power is the logical choice for Iran, as is the case for other developing nations. Now, I must point out that days before signing the original Geneva Interim Agreement on 24 November 2013, in a speech before the Basij commanders, the leader emphasized, and I quote, "We even have no enmity with the American people, despite the fact that the government of America is an arrogant, hostile, and evil government, which bears a grudge against the Iranian nation and the Islamic Republic," unquote. So I'm pointing out here, this is not some new revelation that, other news sources seem to make it out to be. Now, Ayatollah Khamenei has said, quote, "Impartiality makes no sense in the fight against truth and evil," unquote. Well, in my discussions with my late colleague Hamid Golpira, he expressed the same views, and I must confess I've come around to agree with both of them. This is really the case. The U.S. has become the epitome of evil by its unbridled support of the Zionist entity, and even more so as it supports this bloody Saudi aggression in Yemen. Now, it has also been mentioned that there are new demands, quote unquote, being made by Iran. Well, this is completely false. What we have to look at is the what I'm talking about here is the arms embargo request, and this is a result of the half-hearted U.S. campaign against ISIL. On the other hand, Iran has been a leader in the struggle. And therefore, it needs this U.S. arms embargo to be lifted if it's to continue with the fight. And this was something that was pointed out recently by Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov.
Indeed. Well, so we have to leave it there, sir. Yoram Abdullah-Wheeler, journalist and political commentator, talking to us from Denver. As always, thanks for your time there, sir.